We know that there's going to be fire deals coming for our testing. Not always. If perhaps you might be disturbed by various trials, it's not all the time. There's joy even in the midst of trials. We kind of go, oh, trials, yeah, well, that's true. But when things come upon us, when the storm comes, we need to know how to respond. The Lord's going to teach us.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you'll help us understand how to endure the difficulties we encounter for following Christ.
You know, Dave, enduring the difficulties that this life can bring is never easy. And it's especially hard when you're trying to live by faith in obedience to God's word. There's something inside all of us deep down that believes that if we trust the Lord and humbly obey his word and just do the right things, that this life will go well for us. But the reality is, as scripture is clear, that those who love Christ and follow him will suffer in this life. Our friends in the areas of the world who are being persecuted right now understand this maybe better than we do. But the Lord wants us all to know how to endure the hardships that come as a result of obeying and following him. Our passage today is found in the 14th chapter of Matthew, and we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
I believe it's quite possible. I can't say that for sure, but we know he prayed for them, and we know he intercedes for us. We know that. So back to our text in Matthew 14, verse 23. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So in contrast to him praying, we see the boat is being battered, and it's already quite far away. It says many stadia. A stadia basically is about 600 feet. And so John's gospel makes it clear that they're about 25 to 30 stadia away, which would be about 3 to 4 miles out, okay, from the land to in the Sea of Galilee. And it says here that it was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And John says the sea was stirred up because of a strong wind was blowing, John 6:18. And the word in our passage translated battered means, doesn't talk about fish, right? Battered, it means to be tortured. They were being tortured by the waves because the wind was obviously whipping up these waves. Strong waves were battering it. They were torturing it. And although there were at least 4 fishermen among the group, right? Now, we know that the Jews were not seafaring people by nature, but they had some fishermen on there. And so he sends them out, and they're being battered by the storm. And he's not with them. But as we'll see, he did so for their good. And he does for our good when things enter our way. He does for our good. And we got to see it that way, so that we will learn to trust Jesus and believe who he is, practically speaking, in real time, in those circumstances. You see, the Lord Jesus sends us into storms. He allows us to be tested beyond our abilities, where we can no longer trust in ourselves. The Apostle Paul would share this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says in verse 8, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction that came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead." That's what God's doing. You're not going to have trials every day of your life, and we're on our way to glory. Well, there'll be no trials. But he is using those things to teach us to trust in him and not in ourselves. So then, we know that there's going to be fire deals coming for our testing. Not always. If perhaps you might be disturbed by various trials, it's not all the time. There's joy even in the midst of trials. We kind of go, oh, trials, yeah, well, that's true. But when things come upon us, when the storm comes, We need to know how to respond. And the Lord's going to teach us. You see, we're going to encounter multifaceted trials, James 1. It's going to test our faith. Really, what it's going to do is prove our faith. It's going to demonstrate our faith in Jesus. You see, God allows difficulties, but it is for our good that we would learn to trust Jesus. When you enter into difficulties for doing your job, you enter difficulties for being a good wife or husband, you enter difficulties for doing the right thing in church or right thing in relationships or whatever it might be, God is using it. And remember, Jesus prayed for Peter in his big trial that his faith would not fail, right? He's using it to build our faith in him. See, faith is very important. That we might know the surpassing greatness, right? You know, that we believe would know that of the power of trusting in him. We see that in Ephesians, and we'll read that later on. Actually, I'm going to read that right now so I don't mess it up. Ephesians chapter 1, he says that we would know what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe. And then he talks about the same power raised Christ from the dead. You know, we so underestimate how God will work in the lives of those who trust him. We just live as though he doesn't exist at times. Or he does, but he's not going to act in my life. Well, he wants us to know the surpassing greatness of his power, and that's so that we would walk with him and follow him, as we'll say. You see, God does everything for good for those who love him, to those who are called. And you got to remember that. I got to be in the Word of God, or my mind is going to get distracted by the trials. My focus is going to get off. He works everything for good. Everything for good. Romans 8:28. And so these disciples are placed in this awful storm. It is terrible. It's so bad that they're having to row, okay? And they're not getting anywhere. The waves are torturing them, torturing the boat. And I believe most likely the disciples within it also, they're tortured, as we'll see. And so let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a weather-related event that's severe? And I'm not talking about turbulence or waves, a little bit here and there. I'm talking about a severe weather event, whether when you're in a boat or an airplane. Okay, if you get in one of those, and I tell you from being an experienced pilot that it can be torture, severe weather, okay? Because you know your life is on the line. You could either sink and die, or you can crash and die, okay? Very serious. And for human beings, we get concerned when death enters in, right? We don't want to die. And so Jesus led these disciples into the storm, and they were in the storm because they obeyed him. And again, you may be in a storm because you're obeying the Lord Jesus. You're obeying him in whatever it might be, and difficulties come your way. You're walking with him. Not perfectly, we mess up, but you're walking with him. And so with that in mind, we need to recognize when we are going through difficulty that God does allow it, but he's going to use it, as we will see, for good. He's going to use it for good. We got to see things rightly. We got to renew our minds. And notice, so first of all, when we follow Jesus, there's going to be difficulties. But secondly, we need to realize that he sees our struggle. He is not a passive observer. He is not someone who's not watching or caring. He sees our struggle. Look back in our passage. It says here in verse 23, and after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat, verse 24, was already many stadia away from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. It says here, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear, but immediately he spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, I mentioned to turn to chapter 6 in Mark, you hope you get your fingers in there, but I want to turn there and look at it because I think there's some important things we see in the book of Mark that help us with understanding what Matthew is sharing. You see, Jesus saw their struggle first. He saw their struggle before he came to them, by the way. Look at Mark chapter 6. And after bidding farewell, he departed the mountain to pray. And then verse 47, Mark 6. And when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And seeing them straining at the oars. That's the Lord Jesus. He saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against him. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. We'll talk about that in a minute. So this is an amazing thing. Jesus didn't leave them on their own. Okay, I'm going to pray and you're on your own. Take off. He's God in human flesh. He saw what was going on. He saw their situation. Now, some question whether he saw it from the mountain because he was God or not. Doesn't matter. He saw it. He saw it. Okay? And seeing them straining at the oars. He sees you straining in the difficulty. He sees you, okay? And they're rowing and they're being tortured by this storm. And what's interesting, you know, was these disciples had entered a similar storm with Jesus on the boat. Remember when they came and woke him up? Look at Matthew chapter 8. They were on the boat before in a similar type storm, but he was with them, right? Matthew 8:23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea. I don't think I want to go on a boat in Galilee, by the way. I just have to read on this. But it says here, and so the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. Isn't this great? And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." You can see this, right? That's us, right? And he said to them, "Why are you timid, you men of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Isn't that great? Now, he was with them here, but now he's not with them. He is working on their faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen, right? He's working on their faith. He is now not in their midst initially, okay? And so here, he's working on their faith, and he sees them straining, and he came to them about the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea. Back in Matthew, it says the fourth watch, verse 25, he came to them walking on the sea. This is amazing. Only God could do this. He's walking on the sea. That's amazing, right? Now, the Jews had broken the evening up into watches, so the fourth watch would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So they've been struggling for a while. This has been very difficult, okay? Serious storm, serious trouble because they obeyed Jesus. And so the Lord comes after praying and he sees their struggle and he comes walking to them. And then there's an interesting statement actually. And by the way, this is an absolute miracle, only something God can do or something that God can enable someone to do, as we'll see in a minute. Okay? I'll talk about Peter in a minute. And so he's walking and in Mark chapter 6:48, the very end of the verse says, and he intended to pass by them. Now we know from the other passages that he is coming to them, but he's deciding to walk by them, okay? You can imagine that. You know, they're struggling, it's horrible, and you look over, he's walking by. Hi, you know, he's walking by. You know, he's there. And so it says he intended to come to walk by them, pass by them. And so here, God is right there. Jesus sees your difficulties. He's there, okay? Don't forget that. And we need to see it with the eyes of faith. He is a present help in time of trouble. You got to go to him. You got to trust that he will help you. You got to trust. You got to believe that. Turn to Psalm 46. You got to have the word in your head. Otherwise, your trials are going to overwhelm you. They're going to snuff you out in terms of taking your eyes off the Lord and focused on the trials. It doesn't mean the trial isn't real. This is a real trial. Doesn't mean your trials aren't real. They're real trials. And they're torturing you, maybe. But notice what the psalmist says. Psalm 46, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah set to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We ought to sing to that, right? God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will what? We will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea. That's pretty significant. Though its waters roar and foam, we see that here. Though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. And so we have here the fact that God is a very present help. How about Hebrews chapter 4? Verse 15, I'll read this for you. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And if you remember when we went through that book of Hebrews in that passage, the finding help speaks of those chains they would throw around a ship when it was falling apart. They would frap it, you know, and that's what he does. He holds us together in time of need. But we got to go to him and we got to trust him. You see, if you're a believer, he is with us through the end of the age. Matthew 28. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, hey, chapter 13, verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. And you say, okay, what do I have? Oh, look, your bank account. No, he's talking about what you have. You got the Lord Jesus. He says, for here, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. He's not going to desert you. You're in your trial. He hasn't deserted you. He's interceding for you, and he wants you to trust him, right? So that we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? We need to get to that point. Yes, we get shaken up. We get rebalanced. We focus on the Lord. We start trusting more in him. We get our eyes on him, and we can say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. Jesus was teaching them a lesson, although he was not with them physically, that he still cares for them, he's concerned for them, and as we will see, will deliver them. The Lord knows your difficulties. Turn to Psalm 23. The Lord knows what's going on. He wants you to pay attention to him. He wants you to trust him. You see, that's how we please the Lord. He's pleased when we trust him. We got to be trying to learn what is pleasing. How do we trust him in these circumstances? Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with you. At your work, he's with you in your marriage, he's with you at church, he's with you at school, he's with you in your job, he's with you in the difficulties that you go through. He's with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So then, the Lord sees him, right? He sees your situation, and he's tending to walk by that I believe that they would see him. Okay? So back to our passage, notice verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, it's just amazing when I read this, saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, it is a ghost! And they cried out for fear. You see, get the picture? The disciples in the boat, they're rowing. They're rowing for their lives, by the way. And Jesus is walking on water, walking right by them, and they see him, and they were terrified. Yeah, that was a ghost. It says they cried out for fear, terrified. The term ghost here is where we get our word phantasm. It speaks of an apparition. And in the Jewish culture and many other cultures, there's many myths of ghosts and things out on the waters. But here, we know there's no such thing as ghosts. All those ghost shows and TV are all false. It's all fake. It's all either fake or it's demons. They're demons, fallen angels. There's certainly that. But there's no ghosts, okay? And so here, it's not a ghost. It's the living God. So they think it's a ghost, and they're screaming in this trial. And they're screaming. They're tortured, and now they're terrified because of the Lord Jesus walking out to them. They don't know what it is or who it is. So with this in mind, sometimes you've gotten those situations, and it's because you're obeyed. It's obeyed. How are we to respond? We need to know the Lord Jesus sees our trials, and he's right by us, okay? Then notice, how does he respond to their great fear? Notice it's to the disciples, not just Peter, by the way, initially. Notice it's to the disciples, not just Peter. But immediately he spoke to them, okay? saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Oh boy, we got to take courage. The Lord sees our difficulties. He's right alongside. It is I. Do not be afraid. He spoke immediately. Immediately. I love this. And he does the same thing in his word to us in his trials. There's no delay. His word speaks to us immediately if we will listen. Immediately. And notice, Jesus spoke to them. We have his human name. Matthew shares it. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. His human name, Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. The I am who takes on human flesh is salvation. Take courage. It is I, or ego eimi. It is I. I'm here. Take courage. Do not be afraid. The term take courage speaks of the ability to confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. To confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Courage. Now, this is not courage by pulling up your own bootstraps. It is courage by trusting in the Lord because he is near. Take courage and do not be afraid. Because it's him, ego eimi. Because it's the Lord Jesus. You see, because of the Lord Jesus, in every one of our trials, we should take courage and not be afraid. Because Lord Jesus, in every one of our trials. And he's compassionate. He understands our frame. We go through those gyrations. We get scared. We have to turn in. We go through that process. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's merciful. But we need to learn. He's talking about faith. I have faith in him. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a promise. He's going to help. He's going to uphold you. All throughout Scripture, God encourages his servants when entering danger or difficulty to be courageous and not fear, based on the fact that he is their God. That's why. Deuteronomy chapter 31, as they're getting ready to go into the land, the Lord says, be strong and courageous, verse 6, and do not be afraid or tremble at them. That's speaking of the people they're going into defeat. For the Lord God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as you closed your message today, you talked about the fact that the Lord is close by when we're facing difficulties, but often we don't see him or feel his presence.
You know, Dave, as was the case with the disciples, when storms hit our lives, it's very easy to be focused on surviving that storm and to focus on the storm and the potential damage that it might cause to us and our loved ones. And what Jesus reminds us of here is that even when the storm is raging out of control, he is not far off, and nothing is beyond his ability to remedy according to his will for us. He knows how much we can take, and he's using that to conform us to his image. And Dave, the scripture is clear. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So this is truly where faith comes into play. But often in the middle of the storm, sometimes there seems to be nothing to hang on to. Relationships may fail, security evaporates, health may wane. The things that we are tempted to hold on to for protection and significance may be taken away. And we're left facing this storm with just one thing, our faith in the living God. And he promises within that to take care of us. You see, he wants us to trust him above all things. You see, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And he's using these storms in your life and my life to make us like his son. So when you're in the middle of a difficult time, don't grow weary. Pray for courage. Trust the Lord. Focus on him. He is a very present help in time of trouble.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.